So good morning, everyone.
My name is Vince. For those of you who don't know me, I'm one of the pastors here at Friends Church. And we usually run out of time, so I'm going to jump right into it, okay? There's a story in the Bible about a guy who walks up to Jesus and he says, "So what's the most important commandment?" So just so you know, if you did that to me after service, I'd be ready to fight you. But in their culture, that's not really how it worked. You see, in their culture, the rabbis didn't agree on theology. They didn't want to agree on theology. That wasn't the point. Their point was to argue it, to discuss it. They called it iron sharpening iron. So when the guy walks up to Jesus and says, "What's the greatest commandment?" Essentially what he's saying is, break down your view of this thing so I can understand where you are compared to everyone else. So Jesus looks at him and says something really simple. He says, "Love God and love your neighbor." Like all of Christianity, he sums up, love God, love your neighbor. I don't know about you, but for me that, like I can get my brain wrapped around that. I have a degree in theology, but there's so much I don't even understand. But when it's just love God, love your neighbor, that I can understand. The question is, how do you love your neighbor if you don't really know them? Or maybe, let me push it further, you're kind of a little nervous about them. I'll use that word. They just don't, they're different than you. They don't really sit right. How do you love your neighbor when you're a little bit scared of them? Because they're really different than you are. Maybe they believe different things or they look different. Or maybe they believe the same thing as you, but they have a completely different way of expressing it or different value set than you do. How do you love your neighbor then? So about 3 years ago, we created this series to help you address that particular piece. How do you love your neighbor if you don't even know them? So we bring people in and help you get to know them. Most of you didn't know a Sikh until we brought in Belraj, and you got to know a Sikh now, and now you're thinking, hey, I know a Sikh. He's a really nice guy. And instantly, your ability to love them goes up. So we've done this with all kinds of different things, and today we're going to do it with a Buddhist gentleman. You probably don't realize, but there's a lot of Buddhists in our world that maybe don't have like a flag and they're saying, hey, I'm Buddhist, but they are. And so the question we want to ask today is, how do you love your Buddhist neighbor? If Jesus says, love your neighbor, how do you love that particular neighbor? So now you guys are all sitting back like, not sure. So let me start off with crowd participation. How many of you have Buddhist friends? Well, that's not a ton. Rest of you don't know. Any Buddhists, like, do you know Buddhists? Any? Like, okay, we got a few more there, getting there. The song that Brad played today, did anyone recognize who it came from? Alanis Morissette, 2-time American Music Award, 3-time MTV Video Music Award, 12 Juno Awards, 7 Grammy Awards, probably one of the more accomplished Canadian musicians of all time, and consequently also a Buddhist. There's Buddhists that we probably don't realize are in our lives. We just didn't know that they were Buddhists. In fact, as I've gone through this talk, I've realized more and more people in my life are Buddhist. I just didn't know. We hired a gentleman to help us do some strategic planning for Friends Church. And he's this corporate guy, you know, suited up and looking all sharp downtown. So we're chatting at the end of the session and blah, 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 blah. And I'm active in my Buddhist temple. We had no clue. Because Buddhists look a lot like we do, don't they? So, actually, you know what? I wanted to put this up. There's actually a significant number of Hollywood stars that are Buddhists. So, as I chat, I'm going to let her just put them up there. But today, I want you guys to understand a little bit more about Buddhism. I came into this discussion knowing basically nothing. And I want you to meet a Buddhist. For those of you who don't know a Buddhist, you're going to meet a Buddhist today. And he's a great guy. He's helped me tremendously. So I want you to give a warm Friends Church welcome to Meng. Thank you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much.
Have a seat. Okay. So, I was going to try and say your name, but there's no way. So can you tell, say your full name for us?
Oh, my name is Meng Mian Beng Tong. This is quite a peculiar.
And Meng is actually like a title.
Meng is my first name, sorry.
It's kind of like your first name.
Yeah, first name, yeah.
And do people call you Mr. Tong?
Oh, yeah, usually, you know, here in Meng.
Okay, everyone just calls you Meng.
Yeah, okay.
Gotcha.
That's much better.
So as we go here, I'm going to ask him a bunch of questions. If you want to ask him any questions, all you need to do is text the number. It's going to come up here in just a second. Text the number. It's going to go back to the multimedia. They're going to bring it up anonymously so you don't have to show your ignorance. I asked a lot of really dumb questions, and hopefully I'll ask all the dumb guy questions today. So just type in your question. Do it a little short so we can have time to read it. But put it up there, and we'll ask the question as we go. Is that okay? Okay. Ready?
Go ahead.
Okay, so what we do, I just want to get things going a little bit.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
From originally from Burma.
Burma.
And Myanmar, yeah. It's in Asia.
So sometimes they call it Burma, sometimes Myanmar. Why?
Myanmar, yeah, actually the namesake, not really different to us. But it was in British times, that was in Burma. And later on, it's become a Myanmar.
Gotcha. Makes sense. Are you married?
Yeah, I'm married.
How long have you been married for?
I'm married for 20 years.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah. And kids?
I have two kids, 17 and 14.
Okay, and their names?
The first, the Jasmine.
Okay, you should really know this.
Yeah. he was born in, you know, a small island in the Pacific.
Okay.
So he is more or less like, you know, the Christian country he was born in there.
Okay.
She was born in. The boy is a Chit. It's a Burmese name.
Gotcha.
He was born in here in Toronto.
Okay. Yeah. So you've lived a number of different countries along the way?
Yeah, I live in a lot of places, yeah, okay. Before I came here, yeah.
Okay, so now a very important question.
Definitely. Shoot.
Tim Hortons or Starbucks?
Tim Hortons.
Okay. And for us, Tim Hortons or Phil and Sebastian coffee, because that's what we serve here today.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you like this Phil? Oh, you were drinking water. That's right.
Water, yeah.
You're much better than we are.
So once a week.
Once a week coffee.
No. I mean once a day.
Okay.
No.
So you've had your coffee
Tim
today?
Tim Hortons once a week.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Favorite radio station? Music radio station or talk radio?
I prefer, you know, country.
Country. I didn't thank you for a country guy. I love it. Favorite thing to do on your day off?
Oh, not really much.
Okay. Sit on the couch, watch TV?
No, I hardly watch, you know.
No TV?
Mostly I read and a little bit, okay. Sort of, yeah. Thing. Now in computer, reading.
Ah, yes.
Sort of thing, yeah.
If you won the lottery, what kind of car would you buy?
Car?
Yeah.
Or I didn't think of that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, where would you go?
No, I really thought about those things. You know, actually, I really don't think to win to be frank, I hardly do bets.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. If I won the lottery, I have a whole list of things I would do. So, okay, so let's see if I can get away with this last question.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in a situation, or when was the last time you were in the situation, where you're talking to an annoying Calgarian, and you pretended you didn't speak English? Just to get on the conversation.
No, actually, that's a defense on how you perceive it, you know.
Ah, gotcha.
This is a perception thing, so if you don't feel it that way, you don't have it.
That's fair. Okay, so now that we've warmed up, we got to know him a little bit. He's a little bit kind of like us, except for the country music. I'm not sure about that part.
Definitely.
Let's get into the formal Buddhist. So assume we know nothing about Buddhism. Just assume we're like dumb. So we're going to break it right down. Where did you start in Buddhism? Where did it start for you?
You know, I was born into a Buddhist parents, you know, family. So I am born Buddhist.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've been Buddhist your whole life.
So more or less like a traditional Buddhist.
Okay.
Yeah. I became more interested in the Buddhism in the last 12 years, 10 or 12 years ago. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was before the traditional Buddhist. Yeah. I traditionally was do everything I was asked by my parents.
Okay.
That's
so
all
kind
I
of like
do.
Christianity. You got to do what your parents tell you to do.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Definitely, yeah.
So now when we were talking, you said there's kind of like three areas of Buddhism.
Yeah, pillars of three areas. Actually, the Dharma, we call it. This is the teaching of Buddha.
So the Dharma is kind of the...
Dharma, yeah. Dharma,
and then underneath there's three categories.
Yeah, three pillars.
And what are the three pillars?
Yeah, first pillar is a Dharma. This is a four lady. What in our culture is, you know, in Buddhism is a lady and monk that do... the other one is Buddha. And the Dharma,
okay.
The three, you know.
But you had one you called Dana. Has to do with giving.
So Dana is the everything, you know, what you're giving actually in the sense that's a devi. But the underlying is that the to make it a Dana, it's you have a qualification.
Okay, so this is an interesting piece. For those of you, I had to learn this a lot. Under giving, it's not just any giving. There's certain things in that you have to do to make it Dana giving. Does that make sense?
Definitely.
Am I getting it right?
Definitely, yes.
Okay, so tell us some of the things that it has to be. So if I give, you know, if I drop a ball and she picks it up, that's not Dana.
Yeah, no, it's Dana.
So what actually makes it Dana?
So what we have, what the qualification a giver must have, it is that sense of conviction.
Conviction.
Yeah, okay. You have to be convicted to give it to someone.
So you feel like you need to give it to another person.
Yes, you need to give it to. This is a sense of conviction.
Huh.
That's one of the qualifications you needed to be a Dana.
Okay, so if I give something to somebody else, but I don't have conviction, then it's not Dana.
Yeah, it's just giving something to somebody. Yeah, that is a giving. It's a giving. Yes.
Okay. So
yeah,
we have
not that sense in the sense of Dana. It's not that sense.
Gotcha.
And in Buddhist term, that is a two, wholesome and unwholesome, or skillful and unskillful. If you want to give somebody skillfully,
yeah,
that must be you must have a sense of conviction.
Okay. So you had five different things.
Five different things.
So we have conviction.
Conviction.
Give us some more.
Yeah. Another thing you have to give attentively or respectfully. So when you give somebody, you have to give him or her whatever it is when you give, you have to give attentively or respectfully.
So in other words, if I give you something that you don't need, is that giving attentively?
No, that is a way of, you know, giving. When you are giving somebody, you have to be giving respectfully, respectful way,
okay.
And not throw it away or sort of thing.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Sort of thing. Yeah, this is a more or less like mannerism, more or less like, you know, sort of, you know, respect.
So it's not like,
dignity.
Throw it at the person.
So the receiver must have a dignity.
Ah.
That's the point here.
So when the West comes in and gives something to somebody in a lesser country, but we do it disrespectfully. That's not Dana.
I don't mean this is not Dana. This is, I mean, in the sense of giving. I don't mean this is not giving.
Okay.
This is unskillful giving.
That's unskillful giving. Now, you have to understand, in Buddhism, it's not so much right and wrong like Christianity. It's skillful and unskillful.
Skillful, yes.
So when he says unskillful, you're not being a good Buddhist. Am I right?
Sort of, yes.
I'm using very Christian terms, so bear with me. Okay, so we have giving with a sense of conviction, giving attentively.
Attentively.
What else?
Another thing, you know, the sympathetic heart. When you give somebody, you have to feel like him, you know. When you receive an end, how you have to feel in the receiver, you know, how he feels is the way you are giving, you know.
So that, empathize with what they're going through and give that way.
Empathy must be included in your giving. So that is also the skillful thing you have to do.
You know, as we talk about water, look at these kind of pillars. Wouldn't this be a good way for us to give water? To give with conviction and attentively and with empathy in our hearts? I love it. What else? So you had five of them, so you had two more.
Yeah, another thing in season. So when you are giving somebody, you know, you have to be in seasons, sort of, you know, you are giving is not, if it is not in need, it is not the time in need. That is not a skillful thing, too.
So if someone's hungry, you don't give them a jacket.
Yeah, sort of, you know, sort of, you already have it. What is the need to give it to him again?
Okay.
If you are giving a wealthy man, is that not a skillful thing?
Gotcha. I like it. And the last one you had was?
Yeah, that's a little bit, you know, more or less like a... Yeah, this is a. It, when you give somebody, you know, somebody, you know, you have to give, you know, with the not adversely affecting yourself or the others.
Hmm. We often talk in relationships about some people give too much and they don't keep for themselves. That's not Donna then, if you're giving too much of yourself that you're hurting yourself, correct?
Yeah, sort of thing, yes. And also relate to, you know, sometimes, you know, you give where you come, where you, the one you give that, where it's come from, sort of thing.
So yeah. All you drug dealers out there, or, you know, Dexter killers, you can't actually use that and make it Donna, so that's the rules.
Involve in your livelihood too, yeah.
So you can't do something horrible and give to charity. And
it's hard other people's too, yeah, that's one, that is what the teaching goes.
Okay.
You know.
So, quick question up there. Do you believe in God or a higher power in Buddhism?
Yeah, that is in Buddhism, there is no, not believing or what, but just there is no God in Buddhism. Just Buddhist himself is not a God. He's not claimed as a God, or he's just a teacher.
Okay.
He gave you, you know, some guidance and you walk yourself. Yeah, sort of, you know, more or less you lost your way, so he gave you guide you and walk it on the path.
A Buddha isn't God.
Buddha isn't a God, not God.
He's a man.
He didn't claim he is a God.
He's a man.
He's a man, sort of, yeah.
Is he better than me, or is he like regular?
Yeah, just like you and me, same thing. But the difference is the one, you know, he's aware. Hmm. He's awake, sort of thing.
Now let's go there, because aware and awake is a very particular phrase for Buddhism.
Yeah.
Let's go to this. You talked about sila.
Oh yeah, that's
morality.
The first pillar is dana. Second pillar is that is a morality. And in our the Buddha time, that is in Pali. Pali words is sila.
Gotcha.
Sila is morality.
Is it morality like us, like, you know, the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, that's the same thing. Almost the same thing.
Everything almost.
So I think everything that you know, your verbal and your physical action that governs you, that is the that is a sila.
So when you restrain that or do that skillfully,
That's it. That's it. In sila also, you know, if someone command you, don't kill. Someone tell you, don't kill. Otherwise, I will kill you or I will do something bad to you. That is not the sila, because that is a fear.
It's not also living morality out of fear.
Yeah, fear is not this is a conviction, must be. You have to convict that I should not kill. That is, you have to perceive it that killing is not, this is not a wholesome thing or skillful things.
Ah.
That's why you don't kill, that's it.
So if there's no higher power,
powers.
It can't dictate to you.
Yeah,
you have to feel an internal.
Yourself.
You have an internal conviction to follow that.
Internal conviction, that's it. If otherwise, that is not sila.
And that seems to be a fairly common thread throughout Buddhism, inner conviction.
Yes, inner conviction.
Your desire to live comes from there.
That is the one, yes.
Hmm.
That's a sila. All the commandment, sort of the, everything is that with the convictions. With convictions, you have to own it.
So, yeah, it comes from inside of you. You're
inside
I believe this.
You
but you did talk
it.
That most Buddhists follow a few of the same convictions.
Yes.
That sila.
Yes.
Like, don't lie.
Don't lie, don't steal, sort of thing.
Okay. Don't kill.
Don't kill, yeah. Don't do intoxication and don't do the adultery, sort of thing, yeah.
Gotcha.
That's it, yeah.
Well, that's kind of similar to the Ten Commandments, right?
That is every Buddhist, if you believe yourself as a Buddhist, you have to abide by it, yes, sort of thing, yeah.
Gotcha. But it's not coming from fear.
No.
Afterlife. It comes from inner conviction.
That shouldn't be. If that is, even if he should keep it that way, that is not sila.
Okay. So you can do that, but it's not sila. That's not Buddha. That's being a skillful Buddhist.
If there is any other purpose, you are not, if you are imposed, that is not sila.
Gotcha. Okay. So we had, on the one side, we have dana, giving skillfully. Then we have morality, living skillfully. Then we have the last one called Brahmana.
Bhavana. Bhavana is a sort of mental training.
Okay.
Yeah, that's so mental training is just, you know, the that is a lot of mental training here, but mostly we most of the Westerners, they believe in meditation. That's not the meditation is not no entirety of the bhavana,
but it's part of it.
But it's a part of it.
So do you meditate?
Part, probably yes.
Do you do meditation?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. Okay. Actually, the meditation itself is know thyself.
Ah.
So you have to know yourself. That is awareness.
So when you're looking at mental development, you're looking at awareness.
Yes, that sort of thing.
You talked about you meditate on the breath, on how your breath feels and where you...
You do, wherever, whatever you do, you have to... The first thing is you have to concentrate.
Okay.
Your thing, whatever, wherever you actually first you start to do meditation, you have to settle your mind. Mm-hmm. Your mind is always, you know, running around and everything. So, so you have to settle down, and that is the concentration parts.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be, to do it.
You have to learn to concentrate.
Yeah, sort of thing. And after that, you know, we, in Buddhist teaching, that's a vipassana, that is insight. Insight is more or less like awareness.
So there's concentration, and then there's awareness from that concentration.
Yeah, you build upon your concentration.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so you have to build up from your concentration to the, you know, the vipassana. Vipassana is insight, you know. The problem is you have to explore your inner journey, inwards journey, in other words. That is what we call it, the meditation.
Now, you talked about going to the bank the other day and trying to cash a check.
Yeah,
and you said, for you, that was that was part of this mental training. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, everything, you know, that's the bank is another thing. I was trying to deposit my money. The teller is a different thing, you know, I have to wait or something, you know, do something. So I'm a little bit frustrated. But just at the moment, I was realized, oh, what's happened within me, sort of thing. And then also the same thing this morning, I came here, I drive to here, and then, you know, that rail crossing, you know, that stopped me, you know, that, you know, that the long run, train stopped me. I feel first, you know, frustrated, you know, I have to catch you here, you know, that time, and, you know, so, I realized, I'm aware of myself, I'm feeling frustrated.
So it's not something that sits outside of yourself, it's an awareness of yourself in the moment.
Awareness of what's happening in your mind.
Huh.
So the other day I read about Fanto photography, you know, Fanto photography is trillions of frames per seconds, you know, that what you accomplish, you know, when you are aware of your thoughts processor, you know, that's how you are processing your thoughts, you know, you can picture is, you know, that trillions of frames per seconds.
Gotcha.
You know, that you slow down everything.
Slow down and become aware.
Yeah, so you become aware.
And so
that
Buddha,
is a training of the mind.
And Buddha was fully aware.
Yeah, sort of. That is that the Buddha is claim, yeah.
Somebody asked, do Buddhists pray?
Yeah, Buddhists pray is, they pray. But instead of praying something to get it through the way, you know.
So you're not praying to a god up there.
Yeah,
you're praying.
So, yeah, we are praying, you know, our own awareness, you know. The more or less like you're wearing yourself, you know, whatever you have to in hand. Actually, our praying is more or less like trying to be present in the moment.
So you're not praying to somebody else. Yeah, it's more just to concentrate and to settle yourself.
Yeah, actually, you are settling down yourself, meeting the present. Sort of you are in some situation or something. You are meeting it instead of... past and future.
Oh, it gets you into
avoiding,
the moment.
You are avoiding that, trying to... I'm avoiding future or past. I'm trying to...
Just in this moment. Gotcha.
That's it.
Okay. Someone asked, do Buddhists believe in karma?
Yeah, Buddhists believe in karma. That is a philosophical concept in Buddhism. The karma in Buddhism is a volition. And volitional action or volition. If you don't have the volition, that action is not doesn't make karma.
So if I have an intent to do something, so I intend to do something nice to you.
Yes.
And I do it good, so it's all in Dana, I got it all lined up.
Yeah.
Then I would put good karma into the world?
Yeah, sort of that thing. Yeah, this is good or bad is not in our term.
Skillful, sorry.
And unskillful.
Sorry, that would be skillful.
Yeah, wholesome and unwholesome.
So I'm so Christian. I keep going the wrong way.
Yeah,
sorry.
So I'm skillful. If you are doing skillful volition,
okay,
that you are doing in your term, good karma.
Gotcha. Thank you.
In my term, wholesome karma.
Wholesome karma.
Yes.
Now, we all think, or I shouldn't say we, but I come from the idea of karma is like, I do good to somebody else, good will come back to me.
Yes.
Is that how karma works?
No, actually, it's not the...
That's it. I'm not doing anything good anymore.
No, actually, that's not the Newton here. Not Newton laws, you know.
No. It doesn't like something happens here and then it happens over there.
That law is not, when Quentin comes in, that law is almost, you know, but still, I don't mean that one, radically that one. But karma is more or less like not linear. It's a more or less non-linear.
So I put karma out, it's not going to... This equals getting back.
Yeah, that's
this
not
could
that,
happen someplace, manifest someplace,
yeah,
way
sort of,
far from me.
Yeah, that manifestation of karma is pretty much like a nature. The nature manifested the weather, so we can't really. It's the same thing, you know, butterfly effect, you know, that chaos theory sort of thing. That's a lot of thing here is coming in, including in that.
So for all of you math junkies out there?
Yes.
Makes sense. Chaos theory, butterfly flaps its wings to Japan, we get a hurricane over here. Essentially what he's getting at is the manifestation of karma, there's no equal law to say this is going to happen here.
Yeah,
it will happen someplace,
yeah,
but you don't know exactly where it's going to manifest,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah. Sort of like that, yes. You know, some of the karmas, you know, that you can overcome it. A sort of thing, if you are always aware of it, you are so aware of it, you are overcoming a karma.
You're overcoming karma?
Karma, yeah. You are writing off a karma because your volition is always wholesome. There is no making, you know, you are neutral.
So when I'm trying to get good karma, it doesn't count?
Wholesome, you are not doing, the volition is neutral.
Oh.
There's not, you are not making any karma.
That's why it's not working for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go. Do you Buddhists believe in an afterlife?
Yeah, the Buddhists do believe in the afterlife, sort of.
So there's like
Actually, a place you go? I believe in the many lives.
Okay.
Because, you know, my life are also three or four lives already. Because, you know, I was, you know, born in a small villages, and then I was abruptly changed, you know, my life. I didn't take a lot of thought. I don't think I did it. But just I changed another life, and another. I'm here now.
But
so
when
this
you,
is another life for me.
If you die,
yeah,
would you come back again, or would you go someplace, or would your spirit go? Or
yeah, actually, in that, if you perceive, you know, if you believe the teaching, so I don't think of that far.
Okay, in the moment.
Because, you know, in the moment.
Gotcha. Okay. Do you have a book like the Bible to follow?
Yeah, we do have the teaching book.
The writings of?
Yeah, sort of.
And
like
did Buddha write them?
Yeah, Buddha, Buddha spoke it. Yeah,
someone else wrote it down. That's in his heart.
That is what it was written after, I think, 50 years after the, you know.
Gotcha.
So
his followers would listen to it. Kind of like the Bible where they wrote it down later.
Sir. Before it was recited or memorized them, and then recited every hundreds or something years, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Do Buddhists recognize Jesus? What do they think of Christians?
I do not... learn that much, you know, that the theologically, because I'm not really a theologian or any other, you know, Buddhist studies or anything. Yeah,
just, but Buddhists don't really talk about Jesus.
Practitioner, sort of, yes.
But Buddhists don't really talk about Jesus.
Yeah, there is a lot of thing, you know. Everybody, I don't take it, you know, as it is. Also, actually, whatever it is, you know, what the teaching goes is, you know, I have to be present. That's it.
Gotcha. Do Buddhists want to convert people to Buddhism?
Some Buddhists are they talking about it? I don't believe that one. Because Buddha teaching, that one of the teaching is the three marks of existence. That marks of three existence is one of us a non-self. Hmm. That is that means a non-lively.
Non-lively.
You don't liver.
Okay.
There's no designation or no labeling.
So Buddhist, Christian, all that stuff, that's not...
You don't have to claim I'm a Buddhist. That's nothing.
Okay. You don't have a little cross you wear?
The problem is conviction.
Gotcha.
In Buddhism, everything what matters is a conviction. Whether you yourself claim Buddhist or not.
It's conviction.
Conviction. If you feel it that way, you follow it, that is, you are Buddhism, that's it.
Huh.
No. You don't have to claim it. You don't have to be labeled it.
So Buddhists would say, if I do something through Christian beliefs, but I have conviction, that's part of Buddhism.
That's why, you know, in Buddhism, I don't take it as fine. A Buddhist. But what I believe is, like, you know, like Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
Those are, you know, you are sainthood or sort of thing. Yeah. That I believe in. He's also at a heart in our, in my belief.
Okay.
I don't mean Buddhism. Okay.
That's fine. Yeah, I understand
larger,
what you're getting.
You know, yeah.
Have you ever been treated differently because of your religion? Have you ever been treated differently? Treated poorly because you're a Buddhist?
Yeah, actually, I will tell you a story that in Buddha time, Buddha was, you know, that, you know, the one time he was, you know, encounter with the, you know, the very sort of rowdy man. He was shouting and swirling and something. So Buddha was, you know, he didn't take it. Because, you know, he didn't take it. When givers give you, the receiver didn't receive it. That give is where who belong is. If I give you something,
okay,
yeah. If I give you this one,
yeah.
If you don't receive it, this one is whose belong it is.
Yours.
Yeah, that's it. If I don't take it, I don't get it.
Okay.
So you are swirling, scolding me, whatever you do. If I don't take it, I don't get it.
Ah,
that is how you are perception here.
So only you would only feel discriminated against if you take that.
If I feel it, I will be discriminated. If I don't feel it, I am not discriminated.
So they can treat you poorly, but as long as you don't take it.
Yeah, that is a way. Actually, everybody, you know, all are human beings. You know, everybody. If you come earlier to me, so you are the earlier man. You know, you will treat me differently, a sort of thing. You know, because I can't be, you know, before you. I can't stand you, especially in your line. You are coming before you.
Yeah.
I can't cut you through.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That is the point there. So everybody treat me that way.
Isn't it interesting?
I try to cut you. That's my fault.
Isn't it interesting? How often do we take things personally where we say this is, you know, you did this to me? This idea of not taking it on, not receiving those negative things. I love that idea. Creation. Is there a creation concept in Buddhism? How the earth came about?
There is no, in Buddhism, there is no creation.
Okay.
I think Buddha didn't go that far.
Okay.
Because a lot of, I read it about that, but it didn't go that far. You know, creation or anything. He was asked, yes.
Do Buddhists ever spend time examining beliefs with other Buddhists? Do you ever talk about your beliefs, share your beliefs? If they're different, do you talk about them?
Yeah, I really don't get it that.
That's not a good question?
Yeah.
Okay, move on. What happens to the unskillful Buddhist?
What you sow, what you reap, that's it.
So bad karma in the world is...
Yeah, that bad karma, if you are doing unskillful karma, making unskillful karma or unskillful action. Actions mean a bubble or... we have three actions, you know, that is a bubble, mental, and also,
physical
one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So everything, whatever you action do, the action is, your volition is unwholesome. You will get unwholesome and wholesome, unskillful, that you will reap it.
So no one goes to hell if they do something wrong.
Yes. The one you asked me, that one, if you, for example, you discrimination case, if I take it, I'm a discriminator, I will feel sorry about that, It is you are...
So the unskillful hurts you.
Yeah, that is, you are torturing yourself. What can you do about that?
So it's not that there's an afterlife.
That is what you have to consider about. What can you do about that?
So
you can redress it. You can redress it in other way. If you are torturing yourself, you are frustrated, whatever, what is that for?
But you take it on right now. That's the negative.
Yeah, if you want to receive it, receive. How you dress it.
Gotcha.
If you want to take it, that burden, you already have burden. Everybody has, or every day you have already burden.
But
everything. So if you want another burden, give it to you. You want to take it up to you.
So unskillful Buddhism really hurts you.
Yeah, if you are skillful Buddhism, you don't take it.
Gotcha. Okay. What's the connection between yoga and Buddhism? Is there a connection?
Yeah, there is a connection in a boat. This was in Buddha time. Before Buddha, that was in Hindu. Hindu, a lot of, Buddha was also born in that Hindu parents. So this is he was also practiced that Hindu, those yoga too.
Okay, so it kind of split off. It has similar background, but now a Buddhist doesn't necessarily practice
then,
yoga.
That kind of, the self-torture sort of thing is not really...
Totally.
Okay. Yeah, so sort of thing. So we just avoid it. And then also you have to do the middle path.
Gotcha. Is the Dalai Lama the leader of all Buddhists?
No, actually, that is not one. I will show you one thing. Because of Buddhism, since Buddha time, there is a community that we call it Sangha.
Okay.
Sangha is the community of monks. They don't have any governance.
So those are the guys in the red robes.
Okay. They don't have no governance. What is the governance is the Dharma Vinaya. What is they call is a code of conduct. The Buddhism, in the Dharma, that's a Vinaya. Vinaya, that means a sort of more or less like a very, to be more understandable, that is a code of conduct. You have to abide by these two. So that Sangha is a 2,600 years, Sangha is still valid.
So he told me a little bit about this. A group of monks who've been going along for over 2,000 years, and they all agree. There's no elections, majority government, and they tell everyone else what to do. They all have the similar conviction and follow the same code of conduct from their inner conviction. Can you imagine Canadian government if we had that? So, last question.
I will tell you that about the Dalai Lama. What I mean, I want to show that picture, but just I will tell you now, because Dalai Lama, prostrate to one monk in Burma, Burmese monk. He was a very senior monk, 104 years old. He's a very agile, and then he bowed to him. So that what that means is, I don't mean that is a practice of his humility. The Dalai Lama practice of humility. At the same time, the Vinaya is working. What I mean that code of conduct Buddha taught them is working. Because every monk If you are, you and me are senior or monks,
okay.
For example, you are 1 year, 1 month, 1 hour senior to me, I have to bow you.
Okay.
That is a code of conduct.
Okay.
So whether you are old or young, doesn't matter. In the order, you are 1 day older than me, I have to bow you.
Gotcha. It's very, and the humility is a big issue. So let me, last question. Which one do you want to talk about? Last question. We already talked about the middle one. So
other people.
What would you feel like if your children didn't follow Buddhism?
Yeah, that's a problem. But I'm trying to do that one. Actually, yeah, because they were born here and then they are trained, you know, like their mindset is like more or less like a Western, you know,
okay.
The Western mindset, a lot of people, and all peers. So what we are trying to do is not the Buddhism as the religion. We are introducing without religiosity in the Buddhist. So what we are teaching them is dana with all five integrity they must have. With all the sense of conviction in the training of their mind. At the same time, morality with the conviction. That is what we are trying to do.
Hey, we're trying to do the same thing.
That's it.
Folks, let's give him a big round of applause, shall we?
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
He'll be out after the service, so if you have any questions, feel free to go and ask him. Again, thank you so much for coming explaining to us
the
what...
The last one I tell you, because what I'm telling you is like I'm more like a righteousness, you know. I'm talking a lot of righteousness. The worst enemy to me is self-righteousness. That's every day I have tried to deal with it. I'm trying to, dealing with people, self-righteousness is the worst enemy every moment I'm dealing with it. So whatever I said to you today, I'm not ideal. I'm not awake. I'm not aware. I'm just like you. I'm so grateful, and it is blessing to me. You extend your friendship in our teaching that spiritual friendship, friends are, you know, makes my life whole. Yeah.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Folks, that's all for today. Thanks very much. Feel free to ask him questions on the way out. Don't ask me any because I don't know. Have a great day.